You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. We've just received a short, very urgent, important message from Brother David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson is a man of God whom I respect throughout his entire ministry. He has not compromised. He has remained faithful, unlike so many who have seen their ministry blessed by God and allowed that ministry to grow into a monster and a monument to their vanity, and they had to feed that monster, and they, as a result, compromised. David Wilkerson did not, has not. And when David has a message, I want to hear it. And I need to share this one with you because it is urgent. And I think it's fitting that we receive this message on the day that we're looking at the first two chapters of Romans, things that we need to take very seriously and very personally. Romans chapter 1 speaks in its fullness to us in this time when we see this world described so explicitly in its fullness in that first chapter of Romans. And if there's one thing all of us need now, it is to be able to receive and personalize Romans chapter 2. So I want to share this message with you from David Wilkerson. It is an urgent message. Don't fail to take heed to this message. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Recently, I felt compelled to send out an urgent message, warning of an impending great calamity, such that will cause even God's elect to tremble. One bishop asked, "Is there no further word? How should the righteous respond to such a word?" I can only answer by sharing what the Holy Spirit is speaking to my own heart and what I am to do. I shared that I was led in a practical way to lay aside a month's supply of food. Lay aside a month's supply of food and be sure to include a month's supply of water, because I have witnessed the panic in the wake of terrorism. That has to be a personal word for every individual. And that is what I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart concerning my own spiritual response to an impending calamity. It is simply this: stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." This is the attitude of faith in the face of calamity. What could Israel do on the brink of the Red Sea? Pharaoh's army is pressing in. Mountains are on both sides, and there is an impossible sea ahead. The flesh cries, "Do something." The flesh cries, "Hopelessness." Can God's people dry up the sea, level a mountain, fight a great army without having weapons? They're in what appears to be a dreadful, frightening situation. God's people tremble. And in this hour of trembling comes a word from God, in essence, stand still. Fear not. This is the hour of salvation. You're going to witness the pulling down of the foundations of a world power. But in the same hour, I will fight for you. Hold your peace. Be still and see my works. Beloved, my warning is just one voice among many who are saying the same thing. We may all tremble for a season, but those who truly know God's word will be quickly comforted by the Holy Spirit. We will be baptized with a great peace, a supernatural quietness, which will be a tremendous witness to the fearful multitudes. This is an urgent message. I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to send out an urgent message to all who would hear, and to friends, and to bishops we have met all over the world. An earth-shattering calamity is about to happen. It is going to be so frightening we are all going to tremble, even the godliest among us. For 10 years I've been warning about 1,000 fires coming to New York City. It will engulf the whole megaplex, including areas of New Jersey and Connecticut. Major cities all across America will experience riots and blazing fires such as we saw in Watts, Los Angeles, years ago. There will be riots and fires in cities worldwide. There will be looting, including Times Square, New York City. What we are experiencing now is not a recession, not even a depression. We are under God's wrath. In Psalm 11, it is written, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" God is judging the raging sins of America and the nations. He is destroying the secular foundations. The prophet Jeremiah pleaded with the wicked Israel. God is fashioning a calamity against you and devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back, each of you, from your evil way, and reform your ways and deeds. But they will say, "It's hopeless, for we're going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart." In Psalm 11:6, David warns, "Upon the wicked will he rain snares, coals of fire, burning wind will be the portion of their cup." Why? David answered, "Because the Lord is righteous." This is a righteous judgment, just as in the judgments of Sodom and in Noah's generation. What shall the righteous do? What about God's people? First, I give you a practical word I received for my own direction. If possible, lay in store a 30-day supply of non-perishable food, toiletries, and other essentials, and don't forget water. In major cities, grocery stores are emptied in an hour at the sign of an impending disaster. As for our spiritual reaction, we have two options. And this is outlined in Psalm 11. We flee like a bird to a mountain, or, as David says, "He fixed his eyes on the Lord, on his throne in heaven, his eyes beholding, his eyelids testing the sons of men. In the Lord I take refuge. I will say to my soul, no need to run, no need to hide." This is God's righteous work. I will behold our Lord in his throne, with his eye of tender, loving kindness, watching over every step I take, trusting that he will deliver his people even through the floods, fires, calamities, tests, trials of all kinds. Note, I do not know when these things will come to pass, but I know it's not far off. I have unburdened my soul to you. Do with this message as you choose. God bless and keep you. In Christ, David Wilkerson. And I think it's very good and very timely that we happen to be in the first two chapters of Romans in our study. We know that the effect of every vision is at hand. We see what's described in Romans chapter 1 in its fullness. No people, I don't think, have ever seen it in more fullness than what we now see. And Romans chapter 2, oh, how we need that. It would be wise for every one of us to read Romans chapter 2 once a day, every day this week, to make sure we don't miss personalizing and taking to my own heart and to your own heart the message of Romans chapter 2. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, put a song in your heart. Ask God to put a song in your heart. Be prepared to make the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. He knows when you're making a sacrifice of praise, and he is worthy to be praised no matter what. Hallelujah. It's very important that you remember he is worthy to be praised no matter what. And that's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but you can do it. You can do it. Because you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Hallelujah. All right. The gospel that God gave to Paul to give to us, and what we need to be studying now, is this gospel. Study the resurrection, but study the gospel. Because it is our privilege to be his witnesses in this time, to live this revelation that God gave unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. These things must happen. And we are privileged to be his ambassadors, his witnesses. What a waste if the infinite price that he paid to be able to grant mercy to sinners is wasted because we fail to give the witness, because we fail to give the only news of hope that exists in this Antichrist world today. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. This is the objective. Look at your king. Look what your king did for you. Is there too much that he could ask from any of us? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The good news about God. God is good. The gospel. There is only one gospel. There is only one faith that is faith. Only one faith that honors God as God. And we have good news. And don't let anybody try to ever tell you that Paul was not an apostle. This is the word of God. God said he is an apostle. God says his words have the same authority as Moses. And if you study the life of Paul and the life of Moses, you would see what a tremendous parallel in the life of Paul and the life of Moses. Tremendous similarities. They preached the same gospel. They were both taught the gospel of redemption by the Redeemer personally, directly. Both of them. Paul and Moses. There is no contradiction between that which Moses preached, the gospel of redemption, and the gospel of redemption that Paul preached. There cannot be any difference. There cannot be. There is not. It's the same gospel of redemption taught directly to Paul and Moses by the Redeemer. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, and so are you. So am I. That's our purpose in this time. You see, fear is coming on this world. Fear so bad that men's hearts are going to fail for fear. And in this time, if we walk in the peace of God, we're going to be a light in this darkness that is going to drive people, the same people that have been mocking and scoffing and scorning at you. They'll be driven to ask the reason of the hope that is in you. What are you taking? I have the Spirit of God giving me a blessed hope. I have a faith that gives evidence and substance to the blessed hope that I have. I have this same gospel, this same good news of God that Paul and Moses were given, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the, very definite article, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Nothing in all of history is more well proven than the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many atheists and agnostics have set out to prove that the resurrection was just a fable. And in the process, as they looked at the evidence, they became convinced of this most well-documented fact of all history. Jesus Christ died and suffered the death by torture on a Roman cross in 3 days and three nights later. After that Wednesday when he was crucified on Nisan 14 in 30 AD, on Saturday, Nisan 17 in 30 AD, he was resurrected. Nothing is more well documented. And in the times of the great persecution of those who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, there have been seasons when the persecution of his church was greater than at other times. And in those seasons of great persecution and great tribulation, it was the proclamation of the resurrection that strengthened his people to stand in the day of adversity. Study the resurrection. You need it now. By whom we have received grace, because it was the will of the Father to send his only begotten Son to pay the price, the propitiation, the payment that was necessary, that God could grant mercy to any sinner and still consign Satan and all his followers to the eternal lake of fire. That price had to be paid, and there was no other way than the way your King did it for you. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And we have this blessed hope of the resurrection, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name. Now, there were 12 apostles. Paul was the apostle chosen by God to replace Judas. It was a blatant act of disobedience when the apostles, the 11, chose Matthias. Now, it may be that Matthias was a good man, but Matthias is not one of the 12 who will have his name written on the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem. And in this time, brethren, if somebody comes to you and wants you to receive them as an apostle, you know, if they've got an apostle on their business card, just ask them, do you really expect me to believe that your name is going to be one of the 12 names written on the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem? There were 12 apostles. They were chosen personally by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had something that no one ever before or since could possibly have. No pope ever had it. Every pope is a liar that has ever claimed to have it. They had something that was unique and not transferable. Those 12 men, and Paul was the one that replaced Judas. He was knocked off his high horse personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. Those 12 men had infallibility regarding the proclamation of the gospel. None before or since, and it was not transferable. Those 12 men, and they are still ministering today in that role to establish the doctrine of Messiah. And that is the sense that we should understand. But we should also understand that apostle is simply a Greek maritime term that means someone sent with the authority of the sender. And that applies to you and me as well. We are his ambassadors. We are his sent witnesses, having the authority of the one who sends us to proclaim this great good news. Don't forget that. Don't receive people as apostles. One of the great dangers in this great falling away from the faith is this so-called NAR, this new apostolic restoration led by a bunch of Knights of Malta and reprobates, pretenders, wolves in sheep's clothing. Yeah, we all have a ministry of reconciliation in this time. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. Did you see that? We have received grace and apostleship. You have this apostleship. You have this calling to be a witness of the proclamation of the gospel, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. What for? For obedience to the faith. For obedience. Do we by faith make void the law of God? God forbid. We don't have that kind of faith. Faith is measured by its determination to do what God said just because God said so. Obedience, central to the issue. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Very definite article. Among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I speak of your faith on the other side of the world, 10,000 miles away from you. I speak of your faith. Yeah, I do. I sure do. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Hallelujah. And it's true. And it's a delight. Glory to God. What a privilege we have to pray for one another. That without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. We're headed for Zion. We're headed for the big church of the firstborn. 3,600 square mile big church. And not one person there will be able to tell a lie. We're going to have 1,000-year Sabbath with our King. There's room for all his saints there. And that's where we're headed. So whatever it takes, hang in there. Don't miss it. You don't want to miss this Sabbath that's coming. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There is true righteousness, and then there's other kinds of righteousness. True righteousness only God has. And if you're going to have true righteousness, you can only get it from God. God has to put it in your account. For therein is the righteousness of God, the true righteousness, which only God has. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we need to understand this. In times past, it may have been somewhat optional, but it's certainly not optional today. The only way anybody is going to live in this time is by faith. The just shall live by his faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This was what was so bad about George Bush claiming to be a Christian and being the first president to hold Ramadan services in the White House. This was what was so bad. You see, this is what brings the wrath of God. You know, it's not what the wicked do. What are the wicked going to do? The wicked are going to do wickedly. There's no mystery to that. There's no surprise to that. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It is the Christians, it is the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who make a difference in this world. And when people claim to be Christians and they do unrighteousness, that is what moves God to wrath. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and this is right where we are. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, make them like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is where we're at. God draws a line. And when a society crosses that line, judgment is certain. And that line is sodomy, yes. The sin of Sodom. It is a sign that people have been given up on by God. God has given up on them. He has given them over to a reprobate mind. He has let them go. For this cause, God gave them up. You see, when a society doesn't keep the homosexuals to keep their sin of sodomy in the closet, that means that that society will not protect their children. And when that happens, God brings judgment. It has happened that way every society in all of history since Sodom and Gomorrah. And here's where we are. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And now, brethren, this is what we better have ears to hear. The second chapter of Romans is where we need to park it. Right now, we need this. We must have ears to hear this. As we see that this time described, we're living it now to the fullness. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. You see, this is why it is so important we hear the second chapter of Romans now. It'd be a good thing to do to read the second chapter of Romans every day this week, that we get this straight, that we're sure to hear it. Because we see the description of the time and the world that we live in. That's what the therefore is there for. We have just witnessed this description of our time in fullness. It has arrived. It is that way. We see it in fullness. And therefore, keep it personal, brethren. Keep it personal. Therefore, thou, you, Jim. Yeah, you too, Willie, Tom, Richard, Janine, Mary, Jeannie. Yeah, even you, Betty.
Jim.
Oh, Jim's top of the list. But keep it personal, child of God. Keep it personal. This word of God is written to you and me. First person. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. I remember when I first began to minister this precious gospel of Christ. And God showed signs, tremendous signs, even people being raised from the dead. And I was with elder ministers. And some of them said, you better do something about that pride. And it took me apart. It just about totally destroyed me. Because I respected these men. And God told me something about pride. And it applies to a lot of things, brethren. Said, Jim, when it comes to pride, you cannot make the accusation without having the affliction. And it applies to other things, brethren. You cannot make the accusation of selfishness without having the affliction. I hope you see this, child of God. This is so important in this time. This is your life we're talking about. Your life's on the line here with this. You've got to keep this personal. You've got to keep it personal. God will fix you. And you're the only person you can fix, and Jim's the only person Jim can fix. And if we don't get, if Jim doesn't get Jim fixed, he can't help you much. You gotta keep this personal. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Brethren, a lot of times all you hear is, don't judge. Don't judge. People never think that that's a judgmental thing to say or to think. To say don't judge, that's a judgmental thing to say. They never think about that, but it's true. God exercises judgment. He wants his people to exercise righteous judgment. The thing he doesn't want is hypocritical judgment. You cannot judge somebody of something that you have not properly judged yourself. The spiritual man judges all things, but he himself is judge of no man. Because why? Because he has first judged himself. You got to see this, child of God. You got to see this. Keep it personal. Why do we read the scripture? So that we can hear the Holy Spirit making us holy by convicting us of that which is not right as it could be and should be before a holy God. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges the same, judges them which do such things and do us the same? That's hypocritical judgment. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and do us the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You think you're going to escape the judgment of God by giving hypocritical judgment of people that you're doing the same thing? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? This is what the goodness of God is to do, to lead thee to repentance. What does that say about the prosperity gospel? The goodness of God is to lead thee to repentance. Do you see what that does to the prosperity gospel? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? This is what the manifestation of the goodness of God in your life is to do, to lead you to repentance, child of God. You see how desperately we need this, each and every one of us in this time, when we know the judgment of God is at the door. The effect of every vision is now being at hand. You see how important this is? I hope you see it. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after their hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And this is what we see now at the door. The effect of every vision is now at hand. That's why this is so vitally important, child of God. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. And people forget that Jesus Christ is coming back to tread out the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. And if God is no respecter of persons, how dare we be? For there is no respecter of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. What law are we talking about? We're talking about the royal law. The law of love, life, and liberty. written in stone with the finger of God, and written on our heart by His Spirit, if we're truly born again. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Don't miss it, child of God. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law with written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. If you can find an honest anthropologist, they will tell you there is not a culture on this earth, regardless how primitive and backward that culture may be, that does not have a majority of these Ten Commandments as part of their culture. They won't have all ten. Most Christians don't even have all ten. But these things are written on our hearts. It's called a conscience. And it's sad today, most people have their conscience seared with hot iron. But I assure you this, regardless of how dead that conscience may be today, there will come a time when every conscience will be totally alive at the judgment seat of Christ. And it will consume the soul that has rejected the gospel for all eternity in torment. Behold, look, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God and knowest His will and approvest the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind. Are you confident that you can tell anybody the right way? And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light to them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest not thyself. Wow. Oh, we need to hear this. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. If thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? Who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? And now we find the best Jew definition ever put down on paper. The best definition of a Jew ever written right here. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. A God pleaser. A God pleaser. Not a self pleaser. Not a people pleaser. Not a church pleaser. A God pleaser. He has shown the old man. Oh, it's so simple. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly. You know what's right. It's written in your heart. You know what's right. Don't be a hypocrite. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy. If you've received his mercy, if you've been to the cross and truly comprehended what your King did for you, that he had to do if you were going to receive mercy. If you have received mercy, you love mercy. If you have seen that mercy, you love mercy. You can't help it. And to walk humbly with thy God, knowing who he is and who we are. What an awesome God we serve. I hope you see how important the first two chapters of Romans is for us in this time today. We need this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.